We're going to be in Psalm 119, of course, finishing up another bank of scriptures, another group of scriptures here. And we have been working on this, verses 153 through 160, the Hebrew letter Resh. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read together out loud verses 153 through 160. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. As David goes through, and we've understood these psalms, as we've been through many of them over the last 16 months, I guess it's been. I lose track sometimes as to exactly how many days and weeks. If you're keeping count, I guess I'll try to do a better job. No, but we're going through these over and over again, and they're very similar. A lot of similar thoughts. But can you please understand? It's not just vain repetition. It's not just useless going over of ideas. It's for a purpose. Because it just needs to be ingrained in us, these things about the Word of God. You know, any good teacher will tell you that the key to learning is repetition. Over and over and over and over and over again. I remember thinking, I usually catch on to things rather quickly. As far as it may be in an academic realm or just in general, most of the time I'm pretty quick to figure out where something is going or whatever, such and so forth. Sometimes it can be a detriment because I get ahead of myself that way. But I remember being in ninth grade and studying Algebra 2, and we had a teacher that would just go through the things, and I guess it wasn't all that interesting as far as how they presented it, but it was still the facts of math, which I didn't mind. I liked that, but I would catch on to a concept just like that. And how many of you in school in your classes you did something called Saxon math? Anybody did the Saxon math curriculum? Nobody. Okay. In Saxon math. My wife did. Thank you, dear. All right, wonderful. I'm not the only one. In Saxon math, repetition is used quite frequently. In a lot of math curriculum, it's that way, okay? But we go through and just lesson after lesson and problem after problem. And sometimes there'd be 40 or 50 of the same type of problem. And our teacher would sometimes, they'd assign all of them, and sometimes they'd assign the odd numbers, or sometimes they'd assign the even numbers and such. And I mean, I'd do three or four of them, and I'm like, I got this. Why do I have to do the other 26? I don't need to do this. But there really was a problem. I mean, that's a ninth grader speaking, okay? I didn't understand that I need to go over it and over it and over it and over and over it. You know, maybe sometimes as a juvenile, spiritually, you say, God, why do you go over this over and over in the Bible? I mean, it seems like every time I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading this thing. Well, there's a reason. So it's okay. Oh, it's okay to go over it and over it and over it and over it. So we look through these things, and we're coming down toward the end of these groupings, you understand. And we have just two more after tonight. We have the Hebrew letter Shin and the Hebrew letter Tau. So just 16 more verses, 16 more times to go over these things. They're very important to God, because 176 verses, particularly that we've been going through, have been dedicated to the wonderful Word of God. I think that's special. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty important. And so does God, and so did David. Remember back in we've used these evenings where there's just two verses left in the scriptures to kind of go through the eight verses once again, just in a quick review. Consider mine affliction, he says in verse 153. And we talked about how he was asking God, hey God, just take a look at my sheet. You know, just take a look at what I've done, accomplished for you in my life. He said, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Hey God, would you consider this? I mean, just look at my track record. I don't forget your law. I got this affliction. Would you just look into it? Just take a look. And there's nothing wrong with asking God to do that. Because we do keep his word. We do not forget his law. David said, plead my cause in verse 154, and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Not only does he ask God to consider his affliction, he says, God, would you speak up for me? Would you take my case to court for me? Would you be my advocate? Aren't you glad we have an advocate? Jesus Christ, the righteous. That'd be a great law firm. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. Verse 155, just a comment. Salvation is far from the wicked. Now, this is not any indication that the wicked cannot be saved. It's just that they probably won't because they're far from salvation because they seek not his statutes. They don't have a clue. They don't want to follow. They don't want, if you will, to be saved. They want to live in their trespasses and sins. If you will, to die in their trespasses and sins. But if they'll turn, he will save them. In verse 156, he says, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. And last week, as we had a little bit of an excitement here, last week, toward the end of the message, we did thoroughly get in how great God is and his tender mercies. And they're according to his judgments. He makes us alive. He vivifies us. In verse 157, David said, many are my persecutors and mine enemies. And we talked about how there are all kinds of things against us. And they're supposed to be. They were against him. We just talked about this morning. Oh, they lauded him. They said, oh, Hosanna, right? And then they said, crucify him, crucify him. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Stand firm. Don't draw back. Don't give up any ground. We're supposed to press toward the mark, right? We're supposed to be using that whole armor of God and pushing forward, not turning tail and running. No protection back there for that. No, you'll get an arrow in the back, a sword in the back, a spear in the back, those fiery darts of the wicked in the back. We've got to stand firm, press forward, even though there are many persecutors, even though there are many enemies. And then as we concluded last week, we just talked about how he beheld the transgressors and was grieved. And I presented to you not so much because of what they were doing, but that he loved God's word so much that he was grieved that they would even consider to break the word of God, the law of God, the testimonies of God, the word of God. Do we feel that way as we behold transgressors? Are we grieved? Because our love for the Word of God is so great. Our reverence for the Word of God is so high that the very breaking of it grieves us to the Spirit. Well, that draws us in to verse 159. David says, and I think this explains verse 158. Look at it. He says, consider how I love thy precepts. See, he voices that, doesn't he? He says, hey, I'm grieved because they don't keep your word. And God, consider how I love thy precepts. Back in Psalm 119, verses 97 and on, I sang to you kind of the scripture songs we taught of, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Those are just three verses from that excerpt in, under the Hebrew letter Mem in Psalm 197 through 104. But do you love his word? And just kind of as a tag on last week's, we ought to love the word of God. We ought to even say to God, God, consider how I love thy precepts. In other words, we're saying, hey, God, put me to the test. Try me out. Look at my record. I love your word. Let me just ask a question. And I pose myself the same question. Do you want God to consider how you love his precepts? No, just let that sink in for just a second. Would you be bold enough, sure enough, to ask God to consider how you love his precepts, his word, his commandments, his testimonies? Or let me put it this way. Are you man enough? Ladies, that goes for you too, okay? No, I mean, think about it. I had to think about this myself. Sitting in my office. I'm not above y'all. Well, okay. I'm not above y'all. That's a doozy, isn't it? I mean, just sat there. I'm a pretty sure guy, pretty confident guy. I don't know. Do I want to ask him that question? I'm just being real with y'all. Tough one, isn't it? I mean, how do we really feel about it? Is the proof in the pudding? How are we doing with loving God's word? That's a kicker. That's a tough one. But I think it's a real question. David says, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. I'm glad David included the loving kindness of God in this verse. David asked God to consider how he loved his precepts. And then he said, vivify me, quicken me, make me alive again according to thy loving kindness. I think that David had the same difficulty with his question too. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. 1 John. Look at chapter 2. As John writes this, a set of epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I think it's very appropriate that John starts out, verse 1 in chapter 2, says, my little children. Amen, right? Yes. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith that he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now go over to chapter 3 and look at verse 18. Still in 1 John, chapter 3, and verse 18. My little children, John says again, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby know we that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now go to chapter 4 and look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen, and do testify, that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. He goes on to say, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. You see, if you string these things together, you very quickly understand what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. And as David says, consider, God, how I love thy precepts. Consider it. Do we love him? It's indeed. Not in word, it's in truth. Not in just saying so. Do we love his law? Is it our meditation all the day? Do we love his commandments above gold? Do we love him by loving his word? Can he put us to the test? Can he call out our record? Consider, David said. He said, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Oh, back to Psalm 119. We need to lighten this up a little bit. Look at verse 160. David says, I'm willing to be put to the test. And if I fall short, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. He's trusting that God's going to be kind and loving and forgiving and merciful, because that's who God is. Then he says, thy word is true from the beginning. You know, we've talked about this in some sort of idea. But you understand that God and his word are the very definition of truth. From the beginning. From the beginning. You say, God said he had no beginning and no ending. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Apart from God, there is nothing else. There is no truth apart from God. You see, they're synonymous. They go hand in hand. They cannot be separated one from the other. Just like saying God is love, God is truth. It's the very definition of it. And his word is true from the beginning. In other words, the very first word that God spoke was truth. You say, what was it? I don't know. I wasn't there. Were you? We'll say, but it says here in the very first word in this book, it says, which Genesis 1:1, y'all know it. In the beginning. First mention of baseball in the Bible, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what that is? Truth. No, it's just a theory, and it's a bad one at that. Evolution is much more believable. Sorry. I've always debated it takes way more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. That's truth. Yeah. Every word is true. You know what I believe? I believe in an every word Bible. I believe that the in, the and, of, let, was, called, were, they're all truth. Every one of them. Inerrant, preserved, word of God. Because guess what? If anybody could ever say that word is wrong, how do you know the rest of them are right? How? You might as well just throw it all away. Because I can't trust something that isn't perfect. That's what we're looking for. And is not God perfect? I know I'm not perfect. So don't trust me. I really mean that. Trust this. As long as I speak what this says, then you can trust me if you will, but you're not really trusting me, you're trusting this. You understand how that works? Hey, he says, it's all true. Thy word is true from the beginning. Do you believe in the true word of God? In 2 Corinthians 1, Paul said, but as God is true. I love that word is. I mean, I know I don't give much account to words, but I do love that word is. Because is a math word. Bless God. Yeah. 2 + 2 = 4. Is equals. Right? Everybody okay with that, right? All you English people, I know you love your English. God bless you. God is true. He is true. And his word is true. Paul said, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he, which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. See, Paul was another one. He said, God, consider my record. He said, hey, I'm calling God on this, that he's a record, that to spare you, I came not yet as unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers for your joy, for by faith ye stand. God is true. His word is true. In Mark chapter 12, they sent certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true. I love that. Even his enemies knew that every word he said was true. They had to lie and pay people to lie to get them to say he's teaching blasphemy. They knew he was true. You know what? They knew he was the Messiah. He said, hey, we know that you're true and cares for no man, and for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Then why aren't you believing him? Really, guys? You say you know this, but yet you don't give any heed to it at all. Huh. Don't we do that sometimes? We treat this book like a smorgasbord feast. Oh, yeah, I want a little bit of that. And nope, I don't like any of that. Oh, no guacamole, please. I'm going to skip. Oh, bacon. Yes, I'll take a whole chunk of that. Huh? Yeah. I mean, if we were having a little display of knives in the back, we just take our little pocket knife out and just... Don't like that part. Don't like that part. Oh, cut that part out. Oh, I don't feel like following this one today. Oh, no, not today. Uh-uh. Forgive. Oh, no. I don't know what to say. Thy word is true from the beginning. You see, we ought to know and love the word of God. Be put to the test of how we love it. Be put to the test how we know that it's the truth from the beginning. Hey, if something's the truth, ought we not to follow it? Ought we not to heed it? Ought it not to be what we want? You know what they say, right? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Okay. But it's the truth. Should we want it? Should we be able to handle it? Hey, look, if I do something stupid, I think I'd like to know if I'm doing something stupid. I may feel embarrassed, and I may get red-faced, and I may, you know, not like it so much. But at least I can make amends. Instead of letting me just walk down like a fool and continue doing those things. Right? Isn't that better? It ought to be. Thy word is truth from the beginning. It's in Titus chapter 1. Paul says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know what the word of God is? It's quick and sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing and even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, right? There's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But it's true from the beginning. Let's wrap this up and go back to Psalm 119 and look at the rest of verse 160. David declares, thy word is true from the beginning. And then I love this. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Every one. Every single one endureth forever. In Deuteronomy 8, it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Jesus quoted this when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, and said, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay? Every one of his righteous judgments endureth forever. What'd I knock over? Something. This thing moves. Three times. The parable of the fig tree. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. You know, a lot of times when they record these parables, same parables, right? They're worded slightly different because of the differences of the personalities of the authors and such and so forth. And the perspective, perhaps, that they view it from. But all three of these, word for word, punctuation, capitalization, I mean, everything. In two of them, it's a colon. One of them, it's a comma. But it says this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Why is that important? Because his word is true from the beginning, and every one of his righteous judgments endureth forever. That means after I'm long gone, this word is still true. And his judgments are still righteous. And guess what? It doesn't matter what era we're from. It doesn't matter what the world is doing now. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter if they say, hey, it's an old, outdated book. That doesn't apply anymore. Baloney. It does. And it will for the next generation. And the next generation. And the next generation. Just like it did for the previous generation, and the previous generation, and the previous generation, and the previous generation. And I could go on for it until I get to the beginning of generations. 40 years, generation. We need a little study on that. I'm just saying. His judgments, every one, endureth forever. Go to, take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter, we're almost done. Aren't you glad? Are you excited? You're like, yes, we get to go out, eat ice cream, or go to church, or go to we are at church. Go to, you can't go to Chick-fil-A, they're closed. Go somewhere. No, we like to be here, don't we? First Peter, look at chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained by before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that exciting? I think it's exciting. Hey, I think this ties all of these things we've said tonight together. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In Psalm 93, David said, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Forever. And one more scripture for you as we close tonight. In Psalm 111, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. How about we just say, enough said. It's the wonderful word of God. I mean, really, I just rest my case. It is what it is. Hey, God, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.